Hey there, welcome to Beyond Usability, the Spark Research podcast, which is your gateway to the ever-evolving world of UX research. At Spark, we believe that UX research is much more than just usability. It is the secret sauce behind innovation, the driving force in business, and the heartbeat of design. I'm your host, Shiny, and together, we are going to explore how UX research can supercharge your tech innovation and take your business to that next level. In each episode, I will introduce you to some brilliant Sparky colleagues of mine who are at the forefront of UX research, innovation, and design. In today's episode, we'll be exploring how UX researchers can leverage AI while also discussing how research can provide critical human-centered insights for building an ethical, useful AI futures. I'm here today with Laura Musgrave, who is a lead UX researcher at Spark and is also our responsible AI lead. And we also have Mark Branningen with us today, who is one of our digital design consultants specializing in research. Our two expert guests will share top tips on utilizing research to skillfully innovate in an AI-led world. Welcome, Laura and Mark.
Thank you for having us.
So, just for starters, when was it that you first got thinking about the intersections of UX research and AI?
For me, it was very much in the early days of smart speakers coming into play, and there were a number of studies that I did with participants in the UK who were early adopters of smart speakers. And through that research, I found that there was a bit of a gap between the principles of data privacy and the real life experiences of people who were living with smart devices. And that really highlighted to me that there's a lot that user researchers can bring to these processes to really understand the real life context of some of these devices and systems in our everyday lives.
Absolutely. That's quite interesting. What about you, Mark? Was it similar for you?
Yeah, not dissimilar. So way back in 1999, I was working for a mobile phone network.
Oh, wow.
They brought out their first virtual personal assistant, and it was really quite advanced stuff. And I was totally loving the possibilities of it. Since then, I've played about with an awful lot of AI in making music. I'm quite a big fan of doing that. But I think my first real exposure to AI was during the pandemic when I was working on a service which did medical diagnostic AI. So I started really using it then, getting into the nitty-gritty of the idea that this is something that saves people time, but it's not necessarily the easiest approach developmentally to take. So that's where my interest really took a massive leap.
Interesting. Would you like to tell us a little more about what was it that you were working on and what kind of challenges you faced?
Yeah, sure. So everybody remembers doing the lateral flow tests later on in the pandemic where you swabbed your mouth and then put it onto this little stick. We built the service that allowed you to input your results from that. And as a side to that, we also worked up for specialist cases a piece of AI that would read the test kit for you. That was very much software as a medical device. It required regulation by the MHRA, a massive amount of safeguarding that went around it, a huge amount of user input. It was quite a challenge. I think we were among the first people to be doing anything quite like that within the NHS. It was learn as you go stuff.
Yeah, interesting. And we all know that such tactical research at the moment is surely helping businesses design individual AI products. So how do you think UX research can play an even more strategic role in an AI-led world?
I think one of the crucial things about AI is this really essential understanding of the human side of AI, human behavior, human culture, as well as the technical aspects of the technology. And this is a part that researchers are very capable of contributing to. There's also a lot of discussion around the sort of wider picture, the wider context of AI, what it looks like in the future. And again, this is an area that research has been able to make a great contribution to in terms of things like futures thinking, speculative design, all of those types of things. So there's a lot of ways that researchers can use their skills and their knowledge to contribute to the development of AI products themselves, but also looking at the bigger picture of what AI means and how it's used.
That sounds interesting, looking at the bigger picture. Mark, what do you think about it?
I view AI as being very much a kind of a tool. Well, it's a set of tools, really. It's not just one tool. I think by itself is just such a massively broad term. There's so many varied uses for it. It's an algorithm that rapidly interprets a really, really big data set, puts in context, and then uses that data to produce a result. But the possibilities of using that are massive and varied. So some might be content generation AI, some might be medical AI. Some of these might need to be better than the human. These things are a great tool to get you started, but you're always going to need to check those and you're always going to need to have the ability to tweak them. I think AI is going to be a toolkit which we can make a hell of a lot of use of in our back pocket, and it's going to help us.
Interesting. So AI is going to be like a toolkit for us to use to contribute to the future. That brings me to my next question, which is more about data analysis. As AI increasingly is handling large data sets and complex system recommendations, what distinct value does human-centered UX research continue to bring to it? Are we going to lose the value of research completely?
I would say it probably comes back to that earlier point of perhaps understanding the human side of AI as much as the technical side. And one of the questions around AI, of course, as well, is what tasks are most suitable for AI and what tasks are most suitable for humans. There is quite an important distinction that needs to be made there, because AI isn't a one size fits all, and it's not useful in every single situation you can think of. So there is very much a need for a focus on the human side of research and the human side of AI. And again, that's an area that researchers are very well versed in and that they can contribute to. There's a lot of opportunities that AI brings in everyday life, but there are also risks that need to be highlighted, that need to be managed. And AI, as Mark's just mentioned, is a tool like any other tool, and it's actually very complex. It needs a lot of care because it can affect a lot of people in a short space of time, and there can be things like unintended consequences, which obviously we want to try and reduce the risk of, and researchers can play a really vital role in that.
Yeah, interesting. Speaking of unintended consequences, we often know that there are unintended consequences for any technology. If it is launched without any research, there could be a lot of harm that could be done than benefits. What do you think is the future going to be if AI tools are launched with minimum research, or if research is carried out at the last stage of a product development cycle?
I mean, there's a huge amount to unpack there, isn't it? I think it, again, comes back to that earlier point of a wider context to it. AI doesn't exist in isolation. It's embedded, invisibly woven throughout our lives, and we may or may not know that we're coming into contact with AI a lot of the time.
Yeah, interesting. Do you have any scenarios or any potential risks in mind which could come upon a particular AI innovation?
Well, this is a really interesting question. I agree with Laura completely. There's so much to unpack in this one. I'm framing the question less as what are the risks of doing this badly, but more kind of what are, A, the opportunities of doing this well? What are our responsibilities as researchers and design folk to make sure it's done well? When you are deploying AI into whatever you're trying to put it in, as the designers and the researchers of that thing, we are responsible for how that is presented to a user and what a user does with it at all. Like any informative tool, is always going to require some interpretation. We need to make sure that the users are aware of that, and we need to make sure that the users know they are about to be using some AI where it's going to make a real difference. And there's other circumstances, like, for example, whenever you take a photo with your iPhone, you are using AI. It's probably not that necessary in those circumstances to advise you that you're using AI. But if it's something that's going to make a difference or curtail your freedom, like a medical AI might, then it's absolutely important to be responsible for how the users approach AI. And I think there's some good examples out there of that. Obviously, I've talked a little bit about the COVID test reader, but another sort of a flip side example of that, years back, most of us will probably remember the big tech company, I'm not allowed to say, probably brought out, that got crippled almost instantly and completely broken by malicious users. And that would have been the obvious thing where doing some research up front with some real users would have maybe let them know fairly quickly that put this on the internet, people are going to break it. It's really alluring to think that your implementation is only any good if the users can actually use the thing you're building, which uses AI. Otherwise, it doesn't matter how clever your AI is, it's going to undo itself because people will do that to it and it's going to quickly lose any value.
Yeah. I think there's obviously a huge amount of risks that you can run into with AI. There's one case in particular that happened in recent years with a US real estate company who ran into trouble with sort of not managing their AI models in the context of the pandemic. And that error led to the company trying to recoup $2.8 billion. So there is a significant financial and reputational risk attached to this responsible use of AI, along with all other conversations we might have about the social and ethical risks as well.
Yeah, certainly. Speaking about responsible use of AI, what would be your advice to other user researchers who are interested in working with AI as part of their day-to-day research or to design tools? What kind of skill sets they should be building up on, and what can they proactively start learning?
I would say initially just being able to develop a little bit of an understanding about AI. It doesn't have to be in depth. You're not expected to become an AI expert or understand all the technical side of it, but you do need to be familiar a little bit with what's happening, because it's obviously a field that moves quite quickly. And as researchers, we also need to be able to look at AI quite clearly. So it's about bringing in those critical thinking skills. How do you see past the marketing speak, the hype and the doomsayer, and get a real sense of what the technology is capable of in terms of the opportunities and where the risks might be? So things like even just keeping up to date with the latest technology news and keeping up to date with what's happening in the industry is a great starting point.
I agree completely with Laura. I don't think you need to sort of understand AI at a sort of code level or anything like that. To be fair, it's moving so fast, you'll probably never get your head around it anyway. We do need to be thinking about kind of what this tool is being used for and why. I'd probably say to people, try not to think about it as AI. Try and think about it in terms of the desired outcome that this AI is going to be used to facilitate. If you're doing that, you'll end up in a place where you're applying the same approaches about ethics, accessibility considerations, and all that sort of thing. And I think that can only be a good thing. I think we have a responsibility. And like any tool, if you think about a bench saw, you know, a bench saw is an amazing tool, but yeah, it's really dangerous. But you've got to use it responsibly. And I think that is important. We have to be responsible with it. But do play with stuff like ChatGPT and things like that. And you know, play with it often, because it's really good, to be honest. And it can save you a hell of a lot of time if you're using it wisely. And you'll learn to use it wisely by keeping using it.
Couldn't agree more to that. The key for all UX researchers is really to be able to apply the same design principles from the Good Design Framework and the same ethical guidelines with which we approach any and all novel tech innovation. And that itself can help us responsibly build products and services by leveraging AI. So, for our listeners, here are the three key takeaways from today's episode. First, AI is a complex tool. Good research helps us decide what tasks AI should handle and what's better suited for humans. Second, researchers play a crucial role in shaping how AI is used and how people interact with it. So remember, research contributions have a significant impact towards flagging any potential risks. And finally, there is no need for UX researchers to gain any technical expertise in AI. Just dive into the field, understand its capabilities, and approach it critically. And that's a wrap for today's episode of the Spark Research Podcast. If you're curious to learn more about the groundbreaking research happening here at Spark, be sure to visit our website spark.io or follow Spark on LinkedIn for all latest updates. Thank you for listening, and remember, the world of UX research is ever-changing, so stay curious, keep innovating, and keep pushing those boundaries. Until next time, this is Shiny signing off.